In our state, there are over 60,000 children under the age of 18 in foster care. Of those, over 35,000 are living in foster care in Southern California. The average time spent in foster care is over 2 years. The Children's Bureau supports 200 resource parents and places 300 children in foster homes and finalizes more than 100 adoptions each year. You're listening to Collage, a public affairs show on KSBR.org, 88.5 HD2, and iTunes and TuneIn apps on your smartphone. I'm Dawn Camber. Our guests are Children's Bureau social worker Laura Siegelman and resource parent Jennifer Caraya, who has foster parented two children and adopted one of the two. Laura, please explain how the foster care and adoption program works at Children's Bureau.
Children's Bureau will get a call, typically from the Department of Children and Family Services, that there's a child in need of a safe and loving home. We have an intake department. We take a look at the list of people that we have that are available that have a vacancy for that particular age or ethnicity. We try to match it up as much as possible for the child's sake. And we call that family and we ask them if they would be available to that child. Then we get back to the Department of Children and Family Services.
And about how many children are you able to adopt out? I mean, I know you adopt out 100 each year, but how many do you are in the foster program?
Well, as a social worker, I'm managing 15 children. They could be at individual homes, and there's probably about 10 social workers. So at any given time, there's about 150 children that we are taking care of.
And what is the average age of foster children?
It's 0 to 18, sometimes even beyond 18. There are certain laws that have changed, and children can still be in the care of the existing foster family. We actually call them resource families. Foster, you know, sometimes has a little bit of a negative connotation. We've decided to change the language because that family is really a resource to that child and to the community in terms of them providing the help and assistance to that child.
And how did the child get into the program?
It could be an emergency situation, or maybe there's a baby who has had some drug exposure at birth, and so the hospital will contact the Department of Children and Family Services. The department then turns around and calls the Children's Bureau. The county itself sometimes doesn't have enough homes to provide care for the child, so they turn to agencies like the Children's Bureau, which is a private agency, to help out that county overload. They could come that way. They could come because perhaps a police officer was called to a situation where maybe there's domestic violence or some kind of neglect, some kind of abuse. Then the authorities would then turn around and call the county, and the county calls us.
Now, when the children are placed in a foster care situation, what could be the duration? Could it be as little as a day or two?
Absolutely. It's a safe and loving place for that child to be however long they need to be there. So a lot of times we'll get calls on a Friday. Court will happen within the beginning of the next week. And there's a relative that might be suitable for that child, so they may only stay for a long weekend. Other times, it could take much, much longer. It could take a couple of years. They're going to give the parent the time to work a case plan if they need help with parenting, if they need housing, counseling, whatever they might need in order to be able to reunite with their child.
So your organization helps have many resource parents available to be able to take in these children.
We do. We have certified resource parents. We always need more because if you think about it, if a child is taking up a space in a home that only has space for one, we sometimes have sibling sets. We want to keep siblings together. We don't want to put them one here, you know, one family over here and then another sibling at another family over here if we could help it. We never have enough families. We get many, many calls every day.
So what are the responsibilities of the resource parent?
To provide a safe and loving family for that child until things might change, like they might be reunited, they might go to a relative or the birth parents themselves. They need to care for all their needs while they're in the family. If they have some kind of educational needs, developmental, we work with resources in the community. If the child needs help with speech, physical therapy, occupational therapy, so the resource parent becomes responsible to taking them to those appointments. If they have some health issues, there could be a lot of appointments around that. We find sometimes the kids need some counseling just to kind of deal with all the issues that they come with. Our resource parents are very busy providing for the needs of the child, no matter how long they stay. And we try to work it so that if the child does go, that those services follow them.
Now, Jennifer, you've resourced parent two children, and you adopted one of them. What prompted you to get into the program?
My husband and I had a biological child, a daughter, Zoe, and we wanted more children, and God really just put it on our hearts to look into adoption. And we looked into private adoption. We looked into, like, overseas adoption. But we had some friends that fostered and adopted through Children's Bureau. And the more we talked with them, we really felt that they were supported when they went through their process. And so that's how we ended up contacting Children's Bureau and going the same route.
And what hoops did you have to go into, if you had to go through hoops, in order to become a resource parent?
You know, it really, I didn't really even feel like it was going through hoops. I mean, if my child needed to be placed somewhere, I would want people checked out. And so I didn't feel like it was a burden. I mean, and it was really relatively quick. We went to an information meeting like in February. We did a home study in March, and then did some training. Children's Bureau offered some great training.
Now, we're talking last year, correct?
No, this was about 4 years ago.
4 years ago, yeah. But in terms of the timing, okay.
Yeah, this was about 4 years ago. And then we did three weekend training classes through Children's Bureau, like May into June, and we were certified by the end of June and had our first placement in August.
So what was the training like?
The training was great. It wasn't sugar-coated. It did not paint like a picture, an unrealistic picture. We knew what we were getting into. And it served us well as the children came into our lives.
Well, can you kind of explain exactly what you learned in the training?
We learned about how kids are, they could be a chronological age, but really that's not their real age. Their age is kind of set to where when they're taken into care. Hold on.
So you had to kind of get an understanding of where the child is coming from when you take them into your home. Is that
correct?
What you're learning?
Yeah, correct.
They're learning more or less their language, where they come from, so that you can help the child along.
Right. And we also learned just the kind of situations that they're coming into. It's different from what we're used to being exposed to. You know, kids that are coming that are drug exposed or from domestic violence. I mean, that's, you know, not always other people's norms. And when they're coming from a norm like that, it's something that you really need to understand and wrap your head around.
And in some cases, do the children have to kind of grow up fast because they're not necessarily with their biological parents? They're with, in their minds, a stranger.
They do, but they also sometimes have to grow up fast being with their own parent. Just being, having different responsibilities and even trying to take care for their own parent.
Now, do you get any compensation for being a resource parent?
We do. Yes, we do. There's like a monthly stipend that we get.
And how does the Children's Bureau keep you connected with other parents who are also doing what you're doing?
Well, actually, Laura had gotten us connected with some different people that they had a church in Huntington Beach that we were able to get together and meet other families that have either are fostering or have already adopted.
So you're able to understand what other resource parents are going through.
Correct.
And I take it, Laura, the Children's Bureau is in touch with other organizations that do the same thing so that you could keep up with the latest in what's going on in this whole foster parent arena.
Absolutely. We're always, even after the family maybe has adopted and closed their case with us, we still try to keep in touch with them and send them out emails if there's trainings and things like that. We have an ongoing support group. And as a social worker, we always try to make sure that people are exchanging numbers, especially if they live in the same geographical area, so they can kind of make a relationship and keep a relationship with other families that are in their area.
Now, how are you able to match a child with a resource parent? What's that process?
Well, sometimes if it's like a real emergency, it's kind of tough to you know, check all those boxes. But if we're given any amount of time and we find out about a child that has been in care for a while that really needs a permanent plan as an adoption, then we can take our time and allow the child and the family to meet each other and make sure there's a good chemistry there. Kids that have been in care for a long time need a permanent plan. So they might be somewhere else for a good amount of time, but we know that where they're at, there might not be an opportunity for them to be adopted. So we look at families that want to go that process. We call it matching. You know, we're looking for things like the ethnicity of the family and the child. We're looking at things like, is this family open to having contact with the birth family? Because we do believe that those relationships are very important to the child. And in some cases, the birth families and the adoptive families really do become very close. They have to work together for that child's sake, just like a marriage that ends in divorce. It's like two families that have to work together for that child.
Can you explain what it's like for the child to be in the program for the first time?
It's scary to be in a new place with a new family and a new school. Everything is just so unfamiliar. So our families, like Jennifer had mentioned, are trained hopefully to understand where the child is coming from. As a social worker, I try to be as conscientious as possible as to that child's needs, especially coming in, because it's just so everything is foreign.
So how are you able to make the child feel comfortable?
I spend a lot of time one-on-one with the child, trying to like talk to them, understand things that they like, even if it's something really simple like, what's your favorite food? And then I'll talk to the family and I'll be like, he loves pizza, or, you know, he loves playing basketball. So why don't you make Friday night pizza night? Why don't you go down to the school and shoot some hoops? Doing things that the child likes. And in doing that, there's comfort for the child. Setting up rituals. If you're going to make Saturday night movie night. So there's a routine, and in routine, there's comfort.
Jennifer, is that what you did? You were able to understand when you had two children as a resource parent. I know you adopted one, but when they were just as part of a resource, were you able to figure out what you could do to make them feel comfortable?
Yeah, our first placement, he was actually an emergency placement, and so he ended up coming really quickly, and we didn't really have a lot of information about him, but we did. We really tried to like get him comfortable, find out his likes, his dislikes, and just get him into a good routine, because a lot of these kids come and they haven't had any routine, and that kind of gives some a safety to them. And our second placement that we adopted, we actually talked to his former caregivers and found out his likes and dislikes, and that really kind of helped to make a smoother transition for him and for us.
So do you expect to have some odd behaviors due to their situation?
Oh, yes, of course. They, you know, tantrums, just, you know, they're acting out. Or if they, you know, they'll tell you they hate you or they don't want to be there. But, I mean, I feel like that's normal because they're scared and they're uncomfortable. And they've had so much change in their short little lives.
And how do you feel when you see that they are comfortable and they're smiling and they're happy?
It makes me feel great. It really does. It makes me feel like I'm doing a good job and that the child, you know, is going to flourish there.
Were you in touch with the birth parents in both those cases?
With our first placement, yes. We actually ended up having a great relationship with her. And even though we knew early on that he was probably going back to her, that we really stuck it out for her and for him and supported both of them. And in the end, it was hard and it was sad and we grieved, but I really felt like we did what we were supposed to do for them, for both of them. And I left with no regrets.
And did you treat the children, you know, like they're your own children? And probably you had to do even more because of the situation.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. They were the same as our daughter. We treat them the same as our daughter.
In case you just joined us, you are listening to Collage, a public affairs show on KSBR.org, 88.5 HD2, and iTunes and TuneIn apps on your smartphone. I'm Dawn Camber. Our guests are Children's Bureau social worker Laura Siegelman and resource parent Jennifer Caraya, who has a foster parented two children and adopted one of the two. Well, Laura, what happens to the children if they're not fostered out? What does the count? Where do they stay if they can't find an emergency family to take them in?
They do have some emergency shelters, but there's like time limits on how long a child can stay at that emergency shelter.
So in some cases, are children, you know, placed in different families within the same year?
We don't want a child to have to go to numerous families. Our goal is to provide that child a safe and loving family for however long they need to be there. The worst thing that you can do is have a child in one family and then put them in another family and then put them in another family, and all that adjustment to them and that lack of trust of what's going to happen next.
But does that happen?
It does happen. Children's Bureau makes it a priority for that not to happen. When the child gets to us, we do everything we possibly can so that child has that stability and does not have to move anywhere else.
So you do your best to find out if indeed this child will be able to be reunited with their biological parents.
Yes, we want children to be reunited with their biological family, whether it be their parents or an aunt or a grandmother. We make sure that the families who come to us and get certified to be resource parents understand that this child has a birth family. And if there's somebody that is capable and willing to take care of this child, then we need to support that.
And if indeed this is not going to work out to be reunited with a family member, then you work on getting the child adopted.
Yes, if the family that they're staying with would like to offer permanency to that child, then we're all in favor of that as well.
So is it possible that there could be a child that could be a resource parent, but that resource parent won't necessarily be the one that will end up adopting that child?
That's possible, but I will say a majority of the families that come to us, even if they think they want to be temporary, they fall in love with the child and they find that their heart changes and they will offer that child the permanency that the child needs. We do the home study process that Jennifer referred to. We actually call it a family assessment because we're looking at the home, but we're also looking at the family members. And when we do that family assessment, we do talk about, if you think you want to come to this process just as a temporary resource parent, that's fine, but we're going to do your family assessment so that if the child needs to stay, your assessment is already set up so that they can stay.
So what happened with you, Jennifer, when you realized that one of the children were going to go back to the parent, and then you chose to adopt another one?
Well, they weren't. We didn't have them at the same time. We found out our first placement was going to be going back. So the mom was doing all the steps she needed, the court-ordered steps she needed to regain custody. So we chose, you know, we had a choice. We could, you know, say, okay, we want to, you know, return him into foster care because we were looking into adoption, or we could stick it out. And we just felt we had gotten into a, you know, we had built a relationship with his mom, and we chose to stick it out because it was going to be better for him. Is going to be less change for him, and we were able to support her. We ended up having a great relationship with her. So it was really a win-win for both of them, for us.
Are you still in touch with the child?
We had remained in contact for about 6 months. Actually, they had come over for Thanksgiving that year, and then it kind of went off a little bit. I think she was ready to kind of move on with her life, and I can understand that.
And then when you chose to adopt, what was that process like?
Well, we took about a year off just to kind of get our bearings, grieve a little, and, you know, kind of just decide what we wanted to do.
We want to point out off between the resource parenting thing.
Yes, we took a year off from fostering.
Right.
And, you know, we just wanted to give our daughter some time to process her emotions and us as well. Our biological daughter, yes. And about a year later, we decided that, yeah, we wanted to go for it again. And about not long later, like a month later, we were matched this time. Our first placement was an emergency placement, and our second placement was a match. So he had been in care for a couple years almost, like a year and a half.
When you say in care, does that mean with another family?
Yeah, he had been with some other families, I think through the county, actually. And they were, at this point, looking to terminate parental rights and have permanency for him. So they were looking for a family for permanency. So we were matched with him and did the matching steps. And then he came into our home a few weeks later.
So this child was foster parented by another family.
By a few other families.
A few other families.
Yeah.
How were you able to get this child some stability and comfort from going from family to family?
It took a while. We did have some behaviors, but ultimately he's resilient. I think they don't get enough credit. Kids are resilient, and he kind of fell into the routine of, I think it helped having my biological daughter kind of set the pace of the household in a way, like for the kids. And he kind of fell into line with like her routine and how we did things. And it just kind of, I don't know, it all worked out.
So Laura, do you believe these children do understand that everything that's being done is being done for their benefit?
Well, of course it's going to depend upon their age. You know, there's pluses and minuses at every age. The hard thing is when you have really young children, they really don't understand what's going on, especially if they're not verbal. And so like Jennifer was talking about, like behaviors and stuff, you know, imagine if you were 18 months old and you had already been in three different homes. Well, actually, in your son's case, I think it was six.
Seven.
So you come to a new family and you haven't even developed that trust with anybody. And all of a sudden, you know, you're supposed to listen. You're supposed to have a bedtime. You know, you're supposed to sit at the table. All these little things, and everything is new. So it takes a lot of patience on part of the families to work with the kids. And like Jennifer said, routine is super important. Affection. Some kids want too much affection. It's almost like they're in panic mode, like they're going to just cling on to you. And other kids will walk 10 feet ahead of you because they're not really attached to anybody. So just really understanding some of the issues around trauma and attachment is really important for the families.
Now, do the children who are resourced parent, do they get to meet other children in the similar situation in a support group type of fashion?
The support group is really for the resource parents. The kids can come to the support group and they can all play together in another room. So the kids don't really meet each other, although there are some opportunities out in the community to have the kids meet each other. So if you have a kid that is in care, whether they're in the foster part of care or they're in the adoption part of care, there are some groups out in the community where those kids can get together alongside some birth family kids.
Laura, what are the requirements to be a resource parent?
I think a lot of people don't realize that almost anybody could be a resource parent. We take people that are single, that have never been married, or perhaps they've been married, but they've split up from their spouse. We take people that are adult age. So the youngest resource parent that I ever worked with was actually 19 years old and worked at a preschool and just loved kids and had her own apartment, and she wanted to help a child. I've worked with actually seniors that have their own children, have grown up. They may have grandkids and they miss parenting and they want to help. So just about anybody can be a resource parent. And I really want to emphasize that because I know there's a lot of people out there in the community that are thinking about it. And they think, oh, you know, I don't make enough money, or, you know, they wouldn't qualify me for some reason. And it's not true.
What is the first step?
The first step is actually calling the Children's Bureau and going to one of our information meetings. You can call 888-255-4543. We have information meetings all over the area. That gives you an opportunity to ask a lot of questions. Sometimes at the information meeting, there'll be one of the resource parents that can talk about their experience, and people typically enjoy that part of the information meeting. Then you get an application, and from there they go over the application and they assign a social worker to come out and do what we call a pre-assessment. So we come to your home and talk to you in person, further answer any questions, and kind of make sure that you really are prepared to move on and start the training. And then the, like Jennifer said, the training is a couple of Saturdays. It also includes a CPR training. If you're not already CPR trained, we have that as like the last session.
So what's the phone number again?
888-255-4543. And I might add that we do have a website if you want to search around about the different things that we do. It's www.allforkids.org.
And give the website again.
www.allforkids.org.
And what would you say is the time frame from the time a person chooses to get involved with the program to to resource a child?
If people are really motivated, they can go through the process in a couple of months. If someone has like a family emergency that comes up when they're in the midst of everything, well, of course, that's going to delay everything. But if you're really motivated, you can go to information meeting, do the application, have someone out in your home doing the pre-assessment and starting the training and completing the training, I would say in about 3 months.
So again, they could go for all four, and that's ALL4kids.org, correct?
Correct.
You've been listening to Collage, a public affairs show on KSBR.org, 88.5 HD2, and iTunes and TuneIn apps on your smartphone. I'm Dawn Camber. Our guests have been Children's Bureau social worker Laura Siegelman and resource parent Jennifer Caraya, who has foster parented two children and adopted one of the two. Please join us next time on KSBR.